when I found myself faced with a second disintegrating marriage, and this time with three kids, I'm like, this is bad. I need help. I need help. I need hope.
Well, today you're going to hear how Lisa Shea found the help and hope she needed to save her marriage. Your host is Focus President Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
Yeah, Lisa has quite a testimony, and even though this is a serious topic, she brings wit and wisdom in equal portions, so I know you're going to get a kick out of this message. Lisa teaches Bible studies and mentors women of all ages, and as you'll hear, she has a deep relationship with the Lord.
Here now is Lisa Shea speaking at Destiny Worship Center in Miramar Beach, Florida, and we're going to be diving in after her opening remarks on today's Focus on the Family.
I need to tell you where I came from so that you understand some things. I was raised in church. I went to church every single Sunday. All right, I knew that God was big. He was a big God. He was a powerful God. But he was very busy with third world countries and starving orphans and wars. And he loved Mother Teresa and Billy Graham because they were doing fabulous things for him. He was like, those are my favorite kids. They're good. Okay, so that was my view of God, and not really a solid foundation at all. So I went to an all-girl high school. Any all-girl high school survivors? Oh, we will hug later, because I'm going to tell you that does nothing for your self-esteem, okay? It was a very tough school, and I was probably 30 pounds soaking wet, so I couldn't really stick up for myself, so I had the verbal skills. You see, I'm very boisterous, I'm independent, I like to tell it like it is, and if you come at me with something, I'll get you right back, all right? So that's how I learned to defend myself, was verbally. When I was 18, I met the man of my dreams. By the time I was 19, I was engaged, I was married by the time I was 21. I was on the same path as my mom and dad, and they met in high school, got married at 21, and they are still, praise God, happily married. But 2 years into this relationship, everything fell apart. Everything fell apart. And we decided we were going to get divorced. Who would get hurt? We didn't have any kids. I was young, he was immature. You know, irreconcilable differences. Who would get hurt? Big mistake, just oops. Well, little did I realize that that decision was going to devastate me. I suffered from chronic fatigue Epstein-Barr syndrome. There were days I couldn't even get out of bed, I was so sick. I was clinically depressed and on antidepressants. I was suicidal. I was lonely because my friends were his friends, so when he left, they went with him, and I found myself alone. Interestingly enough, I was working at the time, and God strategically placed this woman who sat in this cubicle, like almost on top of me, and her name was Kate. And Kate started telling me about her divorce. She had been divorced 10 years prior, and wow, Lisa, I know how you're feeling. I know what you're thinking. I know the pain you're going through. I know the hopelessness. Has anyone here ever thought their life was going to go one way and something happened and it doesn't look like you thought at all and you feel like this is hopeless? That's where I was. So Kate kept saying this thing to me. She'd say, Lisa, during this desperate time in my life, I met Jesus, and oh, the hope that I have now. There is new meaning to life, and he is wonderful, and you will feel so loved, and you will understand more. He has a bigger plan. And Lisa, God has written your name in his book since the beginning of time. Okay. Lisa, you don't understand. Your name has been written in his book since the beginning of time. Okay, I went to church every single Sunday, but the name Jesus was too reverent. We didn't talk about him. Oh, so I'm like, oh, Jesus, she's talking about Jesus, and it's really creeping me out, and I can't be rude to her because she's sitting like on top of me. And so, oh, that's really nice, Kate. Type. She's one of them. She's a Jesus freak. Oh, my God, get me away from her. She's crazy. Okay, but she was so sweet, and she really did care about me. Your name is written in his book. So, I don't know if any of you remember this back in the day. I'm really dating myself, but she handed me a tract. Does anyone know what a tract is? So she gives me this tract, and what a tract is, for those of you who don't know, is it's a card, and on the card is a prayer. And the prayer is to accept Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior. Okay, now a prayer does not save you. Jesus Christ saves you. But, you know, she handed me this note, this little tract. I go out on disability, I am really isolated, and I'm desperately thinking about ending my life because I didn't see any way out of this pain, this illness, this depression, this hopelessness, this death of a dream. And I realized, you know, I could end my life, but I can't do that to my mother. So I pull out the tract and I read the prayer, and I read it again. And I read it again, and again, and again, and I feel nothing. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Side note, the first minute that I prayed that prayer for the very first time, and I was crying out, Jesus saved me like that. That is the truth. But I didn't know that. I wanted to feel something. I don't know what I wanted to feel. Did I want the heavens to open up? Did I want harps and angels? Did I want to jump for joy? I don't know what I expected. But I knew I didn't feel any different. We take our salvation by faith. But again, I didn't know that. So this is what I did. I said, God, I don't know if I matter to you. I really don't think I do. But if I do, will you show me? Will you show me that I matter and that you care, because things are really bad right now and I don't know if I can live another day? Hopelessness. Not long after that, my grandmother shows up at the door, and my family knew I was very sick. They knew that I was, you know, bummed out, but they didn't know the depth of despair that I was going through. And she's like, Lisa, I have something for you. It's your great-grandfather's. Now, my great-grandparents lived with my grandparents from the time I was born till I was 12 years old. So anytime I went to Grandma and Grandpa's, Nana and Gigi were there, okay? So it was not a big deal that my grandmother would have something of my great-grandfather's. She was a pack rat. Her house just kept getting wider because she saved everything. But when I was 12, both my great-grandparents passed away. So she said, I have something for you. Great. So she hands me this book. We have a picture. Oh, that's cool, Grandma. Thank you so much. I love heirlooms. This is really neat. It is a New Testament, Army Navy edition. Wow, thank you, Grandma. Then I opened it up, and inside it says, to Lisa, from Gigi and Nana. Ladies, gentlemen, my name was written in his book. Your name is written in his book, too. No matter where you are in your life, no matter how hopeless things may be, he sees, he hears, he knows, he cares, he's watching. Your name is written in his book. I matter to God? Kate, guess what? I get it now. I've got hope. You were divorced. You met Jesus. He forgave you. I got divorced. I met Jesus. He forgave me. I get it. I'm on fire. I'm on fire. I'm telling the whole world about Jesus. I become one of them. And it was so cool. And I'm on fire for God. I did not, and then at this point, Kate moves to a different company, and we only keep in touch at Christmas time through Christmas cards, and I don't have godly women around me telling me what I should do, right, you know, what to do, what not to do, and to pray for me and encourage me, and so I take matters into my own hands, and I meet Mike Shea, and I was like, bow chicka bow bow, he is a hottie, thank you, Jesus, all right, this is good, I'm good now, God, and I put God in my back pocket. Am I the only one? Things are really bad, and you're like, God, 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 and then he like picks you up, brushes you off, gets you, okay, and then you're like, woo, peace out, thanks, and you go on your merry way until you fall right back into a whole nother pit, and then you're like, how did I get here? I dated Mike Shea for 4 years. I studied him under a microscope. I wasn't gonna make the same mistake twice. Nope. I broke up with him whenever he got creepy, because, you know, guys can be a little, you know. Sorry, gentlemen. Don't worry. I broke up with him when I got creepy, because girls can be a little creepy too, you know? So I was like, I am not married. I am dating. He looks at me wrong. He is out of here. Yeah. And then he kept coming back. And I was like, oh, this must be the one, because I am trying to run him off and he just keeps coming back for more. All right, must be the one. So I will add this too. I did everything wrong in that relationship. Do you know what I'm saying without saying it? I did everything wrong. I did not honor God in that relationship. We lived together because I wasn't going to make that same mistake. So Mike Shea and I decide, it's time, we're going to get married. We were the best of friends. We communicated like amazing. We finished each other's sentences. We loved to be together. He would go grocery shopping with me. Who does that? So we decide it's time to get married. So we get married. In the first year of our marriage, so we get married. I get pregnant. He gets a new job. I get a new job. We move out of state. Then I had a baby 2 months later, so 14 months. So within the first 14 months, we bought a home. So in the first 14 months of our marriage, we nailed 7 of the major stressors in your life. Stupid. Again, with God in my back pocket. During that time, our focus was definitely not on God, and my focus was on my baby, and his focus was on, oh my goodness, now I am, you know, supporting. I was a stay-at-home mom at this point, and he's got the pressure of his job, the pressure of the bills for everybody, the weight of I need to survive and care for this family. I didn't understand all that. I just thought he went to work. You know, I had a baby at home. He could go to the bathroom by himself. Like, I had someone on my lap. I had such a bad day. Did you go to the bathroom alone? Well, yeah. I had a better day than I did. And I did your job. We worked at the same company. I did your job. I'm telling you, your job is a lot easier than mine. Okay. But that's where my mind was. So he's focusing on him. I'm focusing on me. I'm focusing on my child. And things disintegrated rapidly. Now, we did have some good days in between those bad days. We have 2 other children. So, all of a sudden, we were outnumbered. And my last 2, if you notice, they are 13 months and 28 days apart. I had 2 in diapers. I was like I was like that picture with my hair like this. It was like that every day. It wasn't the wind from the beach. It always looked like All right. So our marriage disintegrates. And I'm standing at the top of my stairs with 2 of the 3, I think, and I look down to the foyer, and he's standing up looking at me, and he goes, I hate living here. The sad thing was, I hated living there too. I didn't know how this happened. We were best friends. I would walk into a room, and he'd say, what's wrong now? Okay. High school Lisa, this is what high school Lisa said. Oh, what's wrong now? I just got here, so you must be the problem. He would shoot a little spitball zinger, and I would bring out the high school atomic bomb. He could not win an argument with me. Can I tell you, that does not help your marriage at all. It doesn't. Now, I know I'm making light of some things and we're laughing, but ladies, when I found myself faced with a second disintegrating marriage, and this time with 3 kids, I'm like, this is bad. I need help. I need help. I need hope. So I started reading. I read 20 self-help books on marriage and self-improvement to try to fix things. 20. We went to counselors on and off. One counselor was sitting there. He met with both of us, and then he met with us separately. And he said, Lisa, The only way you're going to get his attention is if you throw him out. Oh, I don't have grounds to do that. And you're telling me that my situation is so hopeless. Hopelessness yet again. This time, even worse. So I drive home in my minivan, and I'm sobbing. And I go to the very last resort that should have been my first resort. And I said, oh God, I am so sorry. I'm in a mess. I know I've done this. I don't know how I did it. I mean, I'm just caring for me and my children. I'm just trying to care for my children. But I need your help. Do you remember me? I'm Lisa. Now, this is what I did know. I knew enough that God was not going to rescue me back here and save me and deliver me from depression and heal me of sickness and save me eternally. I knew he wouldn't do that back here to abandon me here. He is the same God yesterday. Let's give him a... He is the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And yes, it was my fault I walked away from him. Yes, 100% it was me. And my husband did the same thing. But he is a loving and merciful God. And if you find yourself in that position today, you call out on him and he will answer you and he will rescue you because he has plans for you. He has plans for you. Okay, back to my story. So, I'm crying. And I feel the Lord say to my heart, don't you do that. Don't you throw him out. Mm-mm. You be still. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll be still. I don't know about you, but like I'm like 40-something, but inside I'm still a little girl. And I just wanted to cry to my daddy in heaven. And he said, be still. Okay. So one day I go, not long after, a couple days, I go to the mailbox and I open up the mailbox and inside is a package from Kate. Remember Kate? Crazy Jesus freak Kate, remember? I'm like, Kate! And she sent me a gift. We don't do gifts. This is weird. And I open it up. And it was a book. And on the book was a note. And she said, Lisa, we heard this man on the radio on Focus on the Family. And he wrote this book. And I read it and I cried. Dean read it and he cried. And we just think it would really bless you. It really changed our marriage. What? Now, I don't know about you, but we only exchanged Christmas cards. On my Christmas cards, I did not write, Merry Christmas, my marriage is in the toilet, how are you? Do you? No! Life is great, we're great, the kids are perfect. That's what you put in your Christmas cards. You don't air your dirty laundry. So, I open up the package, I tear off the note, and the title of the book, Motivating Your Man God's Way. Are you kidding me? Oh, God, just like, get this. God told me to be still. He sends me another book. I'm catching on now. He speaks to me with books, right? And the title of the book is Motivating Your Man God's Way. Bingo! God knew that my husband needed motivating. He knew that it was all Mike's fault. He knew that I needed rescuing and that he needed motivating. And he sent me the answer in this book. So I'm like, this is so good. This is an answer to prayer. God is so good. And I read it and it says, Ephesians 5:33. Oh, okay. Ephesians 5:33 says, a husband must love his wife as he loves himself. Yes! God, your word is my heart's cry? I cannot believe this! Yes, of course he love me like he loves himself. And God, while I'm at it, while we're talking about this, the reason I haven't been loving him the way I should is because he loves himself enough for the both of us. So I have to love me. He's just so self-absorbed. So then I keep reading the scripture. Oh, and a wife must respect her husband. Yeah, well, of course I'll do that when he's loving me as much as he loves himself. Awesome. And then I kept reading. And I learned that it was a command that God had given wives, apart from, regardless of, our husband's performance. I'm doing it because I know most of you here are thinking it, and I thought it too. And I'm going to be very honest with you, I hated this book. I hated it. This isn't fair. Don't you know that I am a strong, independent female, and I like to say it like it is? And if he doesn't want to listen to me when I have something to say, that's his problem. That is not my problem. And there is absolutely no way that I'm going to do some of these things that you're telling me that I have to do. I wanted to shove this in the garbage disposal. I wanted to flip it under the lawnmower. There was no way. Nope. Well, 20 self-help books. And those didn't work. God tells you to be still. And then he sends you a book that's based on his word, which is what you cried out for. Hey, ladies, how many of you have prayed for God to do something and you don't like the way he answers that? I don't want to do that. I don't want to. This isn't fair. Look at how he's treating me. Look at how he's talking to me. Look at how he's breaking my heart. And again, I'm laughing now, we're laughing, but if you are there, sister, I was with you. It is not funny. You're not alone. You're not the only one. You're not the only Christian who's struggling in her marriage. Hang on to what I'm going to say, okay? All right. So I'm like, okay, I have to do this. I have to. I've done everything else. Nothing's worked. I've overeaten, I've overspent, I have yelled, nagged, screamed, I've withheld, you know. Yep. None of it works. Just none of that works. Okay, God, I will trust you. Do you know some of you in your marriage, you think you're in a marriage crisis, but it's really not a marriage crisis. It could be a crisis in your faith. And I felt like God said to me, how are you going to teach your children to have faith in me if you don't have faith that I can do something in your marriage? Ugh. You know when you hear the truth and it brings you to your knees and it goes against every grain of your being, but you know that it's the truth? I knew that was the Spirit of God.
Lisa Shea on Focus on the Family, and you'll hear how her marriage radically changed next time.
John, and we're just halfway through Lisa's amazing story, and it gets a lot better from here. So be sure to be back with us next time.
Well, you won't want to miss it. There's a lot of encouragement still to come from Lisa Shea. On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for joining us today. I'm John Fuller.
I'm sure as you were listening to Lisa Shea talking today, you identified yourself in at least one thing she described about her attitude towards her marriage. Lisa has mastered the art of storytelling, and she's certainly drawn me in. I'm so looking forward to hearing the rest of Lisa's story on tomorrow's program, and I hope you can join us for that. Our resource offering today is also written by Emerson Egrich, who was the man on the Focus on the Family broadcast that Lisa's friend had heard. It's called Love and Respect, and it's one of the top-selling Christian books on marriage of all time. Based upon Ephesians 5:33 and extensive biblical and psychological research, Dr. Egrich suggests that communication between a husband and wife is often frustrated because of the vastly different ways in which men and women perceive love. Women are wired to need unconditional love, and men need to feel unconditionally respected. If you want to revitalize the love in your marriage, you can find love and respect when you shop online at safamily.co.za or give us a call on 031-716-3300. Please remember to join us live at 5 on Facebook every Tuesday and Thursday, where we're hearing from some of our most loved friends of the ministry, speaking into marriage and parenting. You can be a part of the conversation with Mo and Pindi Grootboom this evening as they help you to understand how to treat your marriage partner. Hope to see you later. I'm Alison Schnell for Focus on the Family Africa, inviting you to join us for the conclusion of our program with Lisa Shea tomorrow, when we'll, as always, help you and your family thrive in Christ.